In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Even in Lent, we rejoice. We will not forget why we are fasting. We will not forget where we are going and why we are going there. We do not get caught up in the moment, but we live with eyes toward our heavenly future. We fast, but still we feast. We mourn, yet still we rejoice. We may feel overwhelmed, but we will never be crushed. 4 weeks into our Lenten journey, and the church pauses to remember her joy. We are headed to commemorate the sad days of our Lord's Passion. Those saddest days took place in Jerusalem, and yet today we are called to rejoice with Jerusalem. How great were our sins! Far greater God's love. We deserved the cross, and yet he refused to come down, and he would have it no other way. The cross is your freedom. The resurrection is the seal. Baptism is your new birth. Holy Communion, the joyful feast. The sad days of our Lord's Passion open his heart for all to see. A willing sacrifice, pouring out his love for us captives. The Jewish Passover feast was near, writes St. John. This is more than a historical marker, but this is the very reason for those multiplied loaves. It had to happen around the time of the Passover, for Yahweh had come in the flesh to release his enslaved people from the demonic Pharaoh and his army. The fulfillment had now arrived. Behold, the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, chosen by God himself to take away the sins of the world. His blood sets you free. He saved none of it for himself, but he shed it all for you, so that you might be marked as one redeemed by Christ, the crucified. The fulfillment has arrived. The shadows have ended. The reality sits on a mountainside with his disciples as the multitudes gather hungry before him. The pillar of fire and cloud is replaced with his holy flesh. The name Yahweh, I Am, gives way to the greater name, Jesus, Savior. And he will remain true to this name. He has led you through the waters of holy baptism and then sent those walls crashing down on Satan, his demons, and your wicked flesh. Jesus will save you. He then leads you not into a wilderness, but into the lush pastures of his holy word, where he feeds you manna from heaven, so that you might eat and live forever. So rejoice. Rejoice with Jerusalem, for he refuses to be an earthly king. He hid. The people did not understand him. Like Herod, they loved his tricks. And yet still he feeds them. Like their grumbling forefathers, they wanted to force his hand. And yet still he gives to them out of mercy and love. He remains true to his name, Jesus, for he will and he must save. He will not be forced into service, but he serves out of compassion and love. He came to serve. He will not let you manipulate him or try to strike deals with him. Lord, if you help me, then I promise I will. He will always do what is best for you, even if you cannot see it or understand it. Even if it throws you to the ground and it causes tears to flow, he must always save you. He must always deliver you. He must always be your God and your Savior. Though you may not understand where your life is headed and why, the Lord knows what he is doing. And it will flow out of his great love for you. Israel and the 5,000 did not deserve bread. We do not deserve the mercy of God. And yet he will not strike you down when you get it wrong. He will not lash out and jump down your throat when you grumble at him. He knows that you are weak, still struggling against the sinful flesh. He remembers that you are dust and ashes. And so he deals with you out of his compassion, love, and mercy. He forgives, renews, consoles, and restores you. He lifts you up to the very heights of heaven with divine breath. Stand firm then. Stand firm in the freedom that Christ has won for you, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You are free in Christ. Born from the waters of holy baptism, you are children of God, sons of the free woman. God is your father, the church is your mother. You live not underneath the law, but you live under the gospel. Christ has taken the law upon himself and fulfilled it, and he has brought you into that fullness of the law through holy baptism. So in Christ you are perfect and holy, even as he is. So how can we not rejoice? We must rejoice and sing for joy on this most festive of days. We must be glad and sing with the church this day, for God has saved yet another child through this water of holy baptism. He who was lost is now found. He was dead in his sins. God has made him alive with Christ Jesus and has promised him the full glories of heaven, even as you someday will enjoy those full glories. We must rejoice, we must sing with Jerusalem and the whole company of saints, angels, and archangels, for Jesus remains true to his name. Jesus has saved. You are not children of the slave woman, the earthly Jerusalem. This earth is not your home. And so you do not live on bread that spoils and rots. You do not long to fill your stomach with barley loaves, fish, or even manna from heaven. That is food of the slave woman. That is food of the earthly Jerusalem. That is food of this earth. And you know full well it cannot keep you alive into eternity. Your grumbling stomachs testify to that. Those who love this bread above all things and live for this bread will find it smelly and full of maggots, even as their own flesh will be full of maggots that will never die, as the stench of their sins wafts to high heaven forever. But you are children of the free woman. The Holy Church is your mother. The Jewish Passover feast is near. For you, soon you will celebrate. Yes, the historical commemoration is only 3 weeks away, but that's not what I'm talking about. For that Passover lamb has already been slaughtered on the altar of his holy cross and prepared for you, for your meat and your drink. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death again and again. So at this altar, you celebrate the true Passover. At this altar, you feast on the true bread from heaven. This is the food of the free woman. This is the food of the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the food that lasts even into eternity. The bread is Yahweh's flesh. He who appeared to Moses in a burning bush and led Israel through the Red Sea in a pillar of fire and cloud now appears to you in humble bread and wine to guide you safely to your promised land of heaven. He who eats of his flesh will live forever. He has heard your cries for help, and you are asking him for mercy and deliverance, and he will remain true to his name. Here he saves you. Here he feeds you. Here he lifts you up, consoles you, restores you back to his holy image and likeness. Here he strengthens you for the days ahead, for they are rough. Here he promises you the eternal joys that shall have no end. In the hands of God, 5 loaves and 2 fish feed thousands. They didn't deserve it. They deserve to be sent home hungry. But the Lord is merciful and compassionate. In the hands of God, simple bread and simple wine are his body and blood. We do not deserve it. We deserve to be sent home hungry or be fed bread full of maggots and wine that's sour. But his compassion knows no end. He still feeds you. He still loves you. A far greater miracle than that which happened on the mountainside. For this bread, this holy divine bread, feeds not simply 5,000, but it feeds the entire church of God wherever she might be found. And that has been the case for 2,000 years. And so the church forever enjoys the abiding presence of its Lord and its Savior, Jesus. So how can we not rejoice with those who say to us, "Let us go into the house of the Lord"? For Israel, the Lord's house was the temple. For us, it's the flesh of Christ. Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. It is a wonderful thing to be invited into this banquet of God where he pours out his gracious love on us yet again. So let us go to Christ, our Passover lamb. Let us go to Jesus, the one who saves. For in him there are priceless treasures that will never run dry and never spoil. In fact, there are far more than even what you need. There is too much. But the Lord loves to give. 12 baskets are left over. It seems like a waste to us. And yet the Lord knows what he is doing. Our cup runneth over. Unlike bread, you cannot pick up wine that has been spilled on the ground and reuse it. Yet the Lord knows what he is doing. It seems so wasteful to us. And yet the Lord loves to give and to give. And when he has filled you up, he will give you even more. And when you've had enough, he still pours out more grace, more blessings. He cannot help himself. As a new mother holds her infant child in her arms and talks to her and will not let that child go, so also our Lord cannot help but to grasp us in his arms and pour out his gracious love to us again and again and again. He has baptized you. And then he absolves you. And then he feeds you again and again. He opens the floodgates of his grace to shower you with his loving forgiveness. He will never grow tired of it. It will never be diluted. If you desire the holy absolution tonight, it will be given. If you desire his body and blood tomorrow, it will be given, for he longs to feed you. So come, children of the heavenly Jerusalem. Come, you who are washed in the blood of this Lamb. Join your brothers and sisters around the Lord's table, both on earth and those in heaven. Come and celebrate. For the table will never be cleared. The cup will never run dry. The bread will never spoil, and the wine will never sour, not now, and not into eternity. So even in Lent, how can we not rejoice? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.